Liedertafel, die war mostly Lutheran background. I learned that over the years, you know, we had to go to funerals and the hymn books, and we had a few Anglican there too, and Dr. Berndt, I went to the church, the Anglican church. We were singing there with the Barossa boys at Christmas time, and the hymn books were lying out, there was here in Prospect, not Prospect, just before, on the right hand side. And said that numbers were written on, looked in the book, started to play with the organ, and I sang the song in German. You know, the group burnt the afterwards again, not. And then I said, that's a German song, is it? Not now anymore, he said. I had to look in the book, and it was in there. It was from the German hymn book. And, you know, in the Anglican,
English,
it was an old from 1500, 1600, and I knew it from the Catholic one. And there was another thing in the Liedertafel. I was for at least 20 years a member. All the funerals we attended. And I mentioned somewhere, I think it's about us, funeral. And I sang all the hymns in the Catholic Church in Newry. And I did the kneeling down and up and cross myself. Afterwards, somebody knocked me and said, "Kennst du das alles in das Katholische?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a Catholic." Yeah, went around, and I lost about 50% of my points, the good points in the Liedertafel, because I was a Catholic.
Oh.
Oh, bit of a joke, but some of them were honestly. But there was one from Leitvasi, said afterwards, "No, don't worry, Paul, we know you. You would be a good Lutheran too, you know." And for me, I learned actually about the Lutheran Church, everything here in the Barossa. And one big help was Robert Beitz, originally from Queensland, and he speaks perfect German. And he knows everything about the German, the Lutheran. And I couldn't understand. My grandma, she was talking about always in Plattdeutsch, she never spoke High German. And I grew up with him for 15 years at first. And she always was talking about the Lutheran. When the church was going, and she said, "Oh, we will have a frosty night. I can hear the Lutheran church." And in school, we had Lutheran separate class later too, and that was the Evangelischen. So why one the Lutheran and the other one the Evangelischen? And I didn't know there was a difference. And then Robert Beitz said, "Oh, there were two synods. The Lutheran were the older ones and the younger ones. They came together in 74. And then there was another incident I act on. You know that they opened up the big on Mengele's Hill, and Dr. Grope, you know, he was the president of the Lutheran Church. We were singing, and they opened up these big for the Lutheran. There was 150 years. The Lutheran when they came to the valley, you know, the monument.
The monument.
Yeah, we were singing. We were singing them with the Liedertafel. Yeah. And Dr. Grope, he was always mourning about. We were singing deep harmony at funerals, and he didn't like the deep harmony. And Robert Ombo said, "What's wrong with deep harmony?" You know, and Hope, he said, "Our wording doesn't suit for funerals." But Robert said, "But the melody is all right." So they do. So Grope was always a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought, if you always have something to say about in deep harmony, and I said to Dr. Grope, so let's. I was at a school in Germany for all my years at schooling. I never heard about the religious confrontation, you know, that the Lutheran had to leave Prussia because the king was following up in a persecution.
But
no. That's
all a myth.
Yeah, exactly. I said that open air, you know. Oh, yeah. And some other ones are around.
Have anything too.
Want to give me a history lesson, you know, Dr. Gropi. And one overheard that too. That was Pastor Scherer. Mm. And Pastor Scherer was, one night went into Hermannsburg, and he lived there for a while with the black fellas. And he said, there was Klaus Menzel, the young fourth of our bloke. And he was there for a long time in Hermannsburg. And he said, I lived alongside him, I was nearly the mayor of the group, you know, they accepted me. And then one time I said, I came from the Barossa Valley. All the ones around the fire, and you know, we were drinking port and sherry, they all disappeared. If I was a leopard. And he asked Pastor Scherer about that, because Pastor Scherer spent lots of time in Hermannsburg. You know. And Pastor Scherer said, Klaus, Paul, can you come on Saturday afternoon to my home? And then, first of all, he showed us all the books he had there, every time. Book out. And then he told us about what was happening with Baldi hated the song. Pastor Scherer told us about that too. Then, of course, I was inquisitive once about the Räuberbande from Light Pass, you know. In the Liedertafel, and Klaus said in the Liedertafel after practice, Rupert Sharkey was one of the old Dennis Hazy, they were all the characters here in the valley. And Klaus said, where are the Aborigines? There are no Aborigines here in the Barossa Valley. No? And Rupert Sharkey said, not now anymore. That opened up, of course, what? And then after another few drinks, we learned then a little bit, you know, there was a gang was hired for shooting rabbits and wombats and all that in the sticks. And we had a few, Pastor Scherer came out of the sticks, and he invited me too for shoot drink with him a few ports in the afternoon. And he came from the sticks and he said, well, somebody asked him where he came from, and he said, out the sticks, and said, where is that? Where the crows fly backwards. why is that? Because of the dust. And that was all these things that came up in the Lieder, but all after about 10:30, 11, and that was, you know, Frank Rousey was still around, and, you know, Dennis Hazy, you know. Well, we had some fun. Volant, you know, he was kept the drinking going until the last one was finished with his jokes. So that is actually where, through to the Liedertafel, that valley for me was straight away like I never left in some ways. I just left the Liedertafel in Germany. I started in the Liedertafel in Germany when I was 19. And then I come here, Liedertafel, how can that be, you know? We were singing to 80% German songs in that time.
Yeah.
And when they sang an English song, that was terrible. You couldn't understand one word. The pronunciation was terrible. And so that was here, Wittisch Festival. We had Carnival. That is, you know, Carnival is the funny thing in our town. The Umperfest was here, the Essenfest was here. And at all this culturally was this town, nothing different to my town at home. The sports, I was in sport. That, of course, football, I didn't know what they were doing. What is that? They want to carry the ball or they want to kick the ball? What is that? And that was a funny thing. The first time in Melbourne, I went in Richmond in a pub. We went there because we had time, nothing to do during the day. And there was a wall and a picture from somebody standing there in shorts, boots, and somebody was kneeling on his shoulders with his knee, and above him was a rugby ball, sort of a rugby ball, you know. And what he was doing there. And then I heard later on that song all went up to Casales. And I thought, Casales. And I talked about it in the Greenock pub. Casales and Norton, and Casales and old Jerry was still alive. And Norton said, that picture, you seen that in Richmond? And I said, yeah. And he knew which player that was. It was Casales. He went up. He said, you have that picture? I said, yes. I got Diaz, the slides from it. But I can't find it anymore. I got it still somewhere. And gee, I have not even seen that. And then I said, what they're doing? Oh, that football in the stadium. I said, is that in that big stadium in Melbourne where the Olympic Games was, the opening? And I said, yeah, I went in there. Because the gate was open. Somebody was watering or something, and if I was interested. And he said, come in. So now I had a look at Steve Neck afterwards, because there was still 125,000 capacity. They took the top off, you know. And I was only interested in the plaque in front where the German gold medal on the plaque, you know, and I found him. And there was Le Happer in swimming and Winkler, and I knew that. The horses, they were not in Melbourne, they were in Stockholm because of the quarantine, they couldn't come in out of to Australia. So that was there. And I listened on the radio. I couldn't understand. I was in the afternoon at 5 o'clock, a short wave from Melbourne, and they were doing the sport, the Olympics. I didn't know that was half hours time difference. You know, I was just 14 at the time. I didn't gather that. So that's what the only thing what I knew about Australia, and that, of course, kangaroos were running, hopping around here, and that wasn't that old. So that is what I, and then here, that came straight away with Zeppels. I know when I left Zeppels the last vintage in 1972, because then I met a girl here from Holland, got married, and we went back for a few years to Europe and came then back in 1980. But I made a list from all the people who worked at Zeppels in that 72 when I left. And there were 6 English names and the rest all German names. I still got them. And after 1 year, the second vintage I did there, and I said to my mate, we never learn English here, because everybody spoke German, and they wanted to talk to German with us. And the only time somebody ever said to me about German speaking, it was Mr. Zilm at Kaiserstuhl. He was on the crusher, and every time when the truck came in, or the wagon, the tractors, or the, you know, and there were German names on the, in the olden days, in Zeppels, they were all written on the petrol tank, wasn't it? And there were all German names, and they came in, the Kaloschke and Nitschkis, and there was only one English name in there. And I was speaking to somebody, he delivered grapes at Penfolds. He had to wait before he could dip in, and I was on a filter, an air filter, drum filter, worked there, but there was plenty of time. So I walked over, had, and then somebody talked, and it was a German, third generation or what. Oh, and he wanted to talk German, you know. And I was talking German with him. Zilmi comes, you know, he works at Kaiserstuhl, he said, F German, you know, here in this country we speak English, you know. I said, okay, if that's the driver, he had to go at, Johnny Werner was on the crusher too, and he said, what's wrong with him? He said, had it too many pores or you need one? And I walked off. And that was the only time, and other times you could, if you wanted to talk to, or that person wanted to talk to German, or I wanted to talk German, and that understood me, why not? No, and that was not a problem. Slowly, the German that came all from, mostly from the Bible, from, you know, from the, that was a high German, and otherwise only hearsay. They never learned, or at school, what they learned, and the other one was all picked up. And mostly from, there was a Lutheran background, and the Lutheran church kept this German Gemeinschaft, or community, together. That's why you find in Australia only these spots like here, and you have it in Horsham, but it's nearly gone in Queensland around Marburg, Minden, in the Toowoomba area, you go to German. So, but the community as it is in the valley is the only one. And even with the Liedertafel, when we go to Sängerfest, I have attended 17 Sängerfests since I'm with the Liedertafel. It's from Perth, Canberra, Brisbane, Harndorf, we had 2 Sängerfests, actually 3. The first one was in 1874, that was the first one. And every time when we sing, we are the champions. Because even the German Liedertafel, or the mostly German migrant formed German choirs, they're always waiting for us. And they said, where do you get this volume, the sound? Away. And I always told him, even when we went here to Jamestown, I said, that is the Barossa, is the port, is the Schluck. Which one of the port, sweet cherry? Yes, yes, oh yes. And then, of course, tell them what they want, you know. We came to Jamestown and they said, you come by bus all the way? And I said, yeah, I thought, you must be thirsty. Not so much anymore because we had our flagons bottles in the bus. Oh, you're hungry, yes. The fridge, you know, the ladies from the guild. And then they said, what's with drinking? I said, we drinking at big glasses. I said, oh, yes. And they do, the cheese glasses, you know, they had them here, the ports and cherries. I said, and if out of buckets, if there's no glass around? What? And the truth is, I have seen it. I have seen it at Zeppel's. people have kneeled in front of an underground tank. The underground tank is about that much out of the ground, you know. Kneeled in front of it, the slates were sideways, had to be rummaged, you know, fortified. And the gardeners came in and said, what's about a schluck? No yo-yo around, no glass of pot around. And Werner Köhler lived over the road. He said, I get a glass from home, from the garden. By the time he came back, there were two fellas kneeling in front of the 20,000 underground tank, you know. The boat was 3 hours old for the fight, you know. And they drank, you know, and after the dinner, they said, come on, you have to wipe your mouth off, otherwise this, they reckon you are drinking. We brought people at 4 o'clock in downstairs, you know, for the schluck. You had 12 o'clock, you could drink what you wanted, and 5 o'clock, and you knocked off. And we had to hold in both arms down. And I said, why is that? We put it in the car. He said, no, otherwise you reckon we drink at the job. I remember when Bill Seppels, he had visitors, and all of them in the morning went on the good stuff. And then they came outside on the lawn, and they started rolling, roly-poly, you know, in the white shirts. And Bill looked at him and said, hello, they tell us about drinking on the job. And then one time, there was one Seppels, he lived in that house opposite the winery. There were three Seppels. One was in a, Robert was in a wheelchair. He lived in Adelaide. There was one Carl, he was in the office in Flinders Street, and he needed samples for the office in Flinders Street. And the samples were taken the day before, and the samples were put in the tasting room. And next day, they wanted to take the samples, and they were gone. So H.A.M. called us all on the lawn and said, lads, or in a similar, I couldn't understand everything, but I heard what he was telling us off. He said, I know you're drinking during it. We can't help that because you're working with that stuff the whole day. He said, but what you can't carry home in your belly, leave it where it is. Mm-hmm. There was another story, you know, we had always visitors in Zeppels. And one day he said, oh, Prince Philip is coming. Oh, Prince Philip, yeah. Prince Philip started on the crusher right on top. And there was Papa Köhler. Pop Köhler, you know, he could hardly speak even after 40 years in Australia, German. He bubbled in his own Hessian dialect and a little bit of English. And Prince Philip, he was the first one he talked to. And then the next one was Werner Köhler, and there was Gary Köhler, and another few. And then I was down with Martin Obst and Harry Bockmann, with filling boxes on the bottom, you know, in a row. And Philip with Ross Jenkins and Bill, and they came down. And he looked at me and he said, and Sie sprechen auch Deutsch in German, you know, you speak German too. And I said to him, he said, yes, otherwise I wouldn't have understood my grandparents, I said to him, you know. He looked at me and said, how many of the Germans around here, he said, and you know. It was Philipp and you. And he didn't want it to go, he wanted to have a look. And Martin took the filler out, and then you could see the red stream from the claret event in nervous port, sweet cherry, really rosy, and into the hogshead, you know, and Philip's hand. And he made another comments, but my English wasn't good enough to catch that. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted him, and then Ross Jenkins had to get him on the arm. And see, a little bit later, Lizzie came then, right? She opened up Kaiserstuhl. I know that Clark was at Kaiserstuhl on the underground tank.
They did the port bottling
when she came. So there was, Zeppelin was always a very big.
Lita Teufel sang for the Queen too, didn't they?
Yeah, they sang. I wasn't here. I said, yeah, I was 4.5 years here. I got married, found a Dutch girl in Adelaide in the club, and she was only her hometown and my hometown, 200 kilometers difference. Mm-hmm. You know. So I had to introduce myself to her family and wife further. So we decided in 72 we go down to Germany back.
And it was in
73, the Olympics was there in 72. And then we stayed for 3.5 years in Germany, but I didn't fit in anymore. Because I was in the Medibank sort of and worked there, and I said, why is it so important that I can use only a red pen and a red blue pen or that? And so that's necessary. It's geschrieben, it has to be. And so, I was questioning the German Ordnung, you know. So I thought, nah, that's not for me. And then my wife was a secretary, and she couldn't find a secretary job, of course, in Germany. And then my grandma, we went every 4 weeks from Germany, had to see her family. It was easy, Friday afternoons, 2.5 hours, and we were there, you know. The daughter with. And then in the winter, in the summertime, we spent two weeks, and then my father-in-law said, you're that often here, why you don't come to Holland, you know. Week later, he said, I got a job for you. For his daughter, you know, my wife, and for you too, Unilever, you know, Unilever, food factory in Adelaide, it's part of Unilever, and we worked there in Holland. It was a big factory, you know, over 200 people. She was an office secretary, straight away personal secretary, and I said, oh, well, I worked in a besides an office in Australia, not in an office. And that was pretty good. So I came in the factory. And after 1 week, and, you know, the food came past, you know, and then somebody tipped on the shoulder and said, would you come into our Schulmachblock? And I said, what is that? He said that word again, but I didn't understand what he meant. And I said, is that the fellas in the green overalls running around here? Yeah. They were the cleaning group. You know, with food that always had to be cleaned and do that. And I thought, while I was working on the line, they were standing around all day. Hmm. I thought, yeah, I'll go in that. So I finished up in that. So you worked only 3 hours hard in 8 hours to clean, and then during the day you had to keep the floor clean from noodles and meat and all of it on the floor so that the lines, transport lines, like a bottling line. And then night times we were totally by ourselves, mostly after 4 hours we were finished, and then we played cards. So that was okay, it was in Holland. And then, of course, the third mate for me, one of them went back after 2.5 years. The third one came, he married an Australian girl from Queensland. He met there when we were in Queensland. And then he went back to Germany in the same time as me, but he went back in 78, back to Australia. He sent the tapes, you know, we should come back. Why we don't come back to build a house, or let a house, new house? We got the key on Monday, I think, and on Friday we got the okay to come back to Australia. Just for the joke, we went to The Hague and asked about re-entering visa for Australia. Oh, you need 50 points. And we got the form. We had the 50 points after the second or third question already, because the daughter was born here, we were here, my wife was fluent in English, and no worries. And we thought, ah, the dice. No, didn't take long, and we got okay. What we do now? We have to tell the family. We take the grandchild again away. My mom said, I knew straight away when you went to Holland, you wanted to be closer to the water than you could.
To go back.
Yeah, so in 80 we came back. Because we found, that is actually an answer to the question, when you have smelled the Australian, you know, she's all right, mate, that you take that very quickly on. That doesn't mean that you lose principles. You have been taught, you know, like when you do work, you do it 100% or don't do it at all. And, you know, and if you have festivities went in the morning till 5 o'clock, and you have to be at work at 8 o'clock or 7:30, you have to be there, and there's no such thing as sleeping in or can't come in or go to a doctor's certificate. That was the first thing they told us, you know, wer feiern kann, kann auch arbeiten. If you can be festive, you can work the next day. It doesn't matter how it is, you know. Even if you, and that was in the winery easy, if you had a sore head. You have one drink, one from the last one, in the morning, to steady.
any way you could summarize the Barossa Valley?
Especially keeping on the tradition. You know, the fifth, sixth, no, seventh generations already, you know. And as I said, the church has a lot to do. Politically, the people ask about Germany, and I learned very quickly that they meant a totally different Germany. We're not talking about the Germany from today. They had no idea. I had always to explain. I came from the center in West Germany. West, East, all they heard about the communists, the bad ones, and that they knew. But there was a border, and in Berlin there was a wall. They had no idea. You know, I had to explain that so many times, and I knew that. And then of course, there was a lot of German, two new Australians. They used the Australians too. You know, the big mouses, as you have with all the same, as it's said from the 10-pound pumps when they came over and finished up. They're still in the fourth generation in Elizabeth and they're still bumming around. You get that always. You can't always pick the best out. But most of them, they said always, you know. And even they told me, Australians or English, if somebody comes and wants to ask me for work and he tells me and I find out he's a German, I employ him straight away. Because he knew if I don't talk about politics, about the war, for work, you can't get a better one. So when it comes to that war times, some of them can hack it, other ones, yeah, they can't when you want to. And if they get teased, they can, I know there were a few too, there was one from East Germany, and he was asked a sensible question. It's about sensible as here some of the Lutheran were when you ask the wrong question, then you know how low here, you know. I learned that too. But perhaps I was lucky in that regard, you know, Rainer Köhler too with the leader tafel, they found the balance. But not all of them, that, you know, I didn't know people. There was Otto Richter from Elizabeth, he worked at Seppels. Always in trouble, you know, and it was different. He didn't want to associate, really. I always said, I live here. I got even a T-shirt. I'm German-made, but in my Australia's now. My culture, I can never change. I can change my passport again. All this technical stuff I can do. But my culture, where I come from, I can't change that.